I love seeing you greet each other. And I suppose we have a deacon's meeting. We'll talk about extending the time. And then... yeah. Sir, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Fellowship's important. I could do a study on that for you, but not today. We're going to talk about prayer today. Prayer is a very personal thing. And yet prayer also, in for the Christian church, is a very, what we call, corporate thing or group thing. Prayer's important, isn't it? I think it's prayer. This is a great prayer. Dear Lord, all I ask for is a chance to prove that winning the lottery won't make me a bad person. Amen. Do I have any more amens to that one? Yeah. Winning the lottery won't make me a bad person. But the Lord hears our prayers, and he always responds to them. We'll look at that in a minute, but I like this one. The guy's kneeling by his bed, and God is laughing. God laughs with you, not at you, unless you pray for something stupid. Then he laughs at you. Hopefully we're not doing that. And this is, at my age, one of my favorite prayers, the senility prayer, not the serenity prayer. You can't confuse them. Grant me the senility to forget the people I never liked anyway, the good fortune to run into the ones I do, and the eyesight to tell the difference. That's a great prayer. It is, by the way, that is not found in Scripture, so it is not, I can't endorse it, but anyway. Prayer. Wonderful thing. Prayer. I think of people that I've known that I considered prayer people. We often sometimes hear the term prayer warriors. I think that's an overused term. I think it should be held to those that are truly prayer warriors, but I can't accurately define that today. But people of prayer. Lois's mom, when she was elderly, spent a lot of time in our home. And Lois's mom was a real woman of prayer. She prayed a lot. She prayed for her family. She prayed for acquaintances. She had elderly siblings that didn't know the Lord, and I know she prayed every day often for their salvation, the salvation of their souls. And without knowing all those outcomes, they lived in Western Canada. I know God heard those prayers. I know God honored those prayers. And so when I get to heaven, I'm going to meet some of them because God heard those prayers. So we're going to talk some about prayer. And it's the last of the series that I've called Go to the Bible. And then next week, I'm going to start in on a study up till Thanksgiving on Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, which we commonly call Colossians. Great little letter. I'm excited to be going through that. It's been quite a few years since I have from the pulpit. I think you'll find it a real encouragement and a real challenge. But today we're going to talk about prayer, and this is what we've covered in this summer session. We obviously started out with why do we study the Bible. We've talked about the principle of stewardship that the Bible teaches. Sometimes they talk about money, but stewardship is more than money. It's my time and my resources. We talked about what it means to have biblical rest, scriptural rest, dependence versus independence back on July 4th, depending on God. We've talked about the wonders of heaven, God's timing, and what it means to wait for his timing. By the way, that actually meshes very well with the subject of prayer, because when we pray for things or for people, God has a timetable in that which he does not reveal to us very often. So we just got to hang in there and let him work that out. What it means to love your neighbor, we talked about that out at the lake a few weeks ago. Then we had this is one of my favorite topics anyway, but we had a special lesson on the name of Jesus in Scripture. We talked about godly music, the blessing of godly music. And today we're going to talk about prayer. But first, the memory verse. I went too fast, so now you can read it with me. But I hope somebody maybe actually has memorized this or been renewed. You may have memorized it years ago. You ever heard of the Awana program? It's a scripture memory program a lot of churches put on. We haven't put it on here, and I feel badly, but at least I know people from here, like Berean Baptist in Brunswick, puts it on. It's a great program. And I feel, you know, I know Pastor Mark real well. I don't feel threatened. Go take your kids to Berea and get involved in the Awana program. Mark's a great guy and his family and his staff. So read this with me. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We study the Bible, we learn about salvation through Jesus, through scripture, and then, of course, it gives us how to live, the very important part of how to live. So we're going to look at prayer today. Oh, yeah, 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17, prayer. And I've approached this from, I hope, a little different angle. This is not a study on so much in how to pray, but I want to look at four people in Scripture and how they prayed. So as we look at their heart's response to God, because that's what prayer is, we're going to look first at a prayer that Solomon uttered at the dedication of the temple. That's a long time ago, about 3,000 years ago. We're going to look at Daniel's prayer. He's an older man. He's been in captivity ever since he was probably a teenager, and how he reaches out to God in what we call intercessory prayer. We're going to look at Jesus' two examples on prayer. And then the fourth person is Paul. Now, in any study of prayer, this could be the whole fall series to do a study on prayer. Prayer is all through Scripture. It permeates Scripture. It's there for a variety of reasons and purposes, but it's how we communicate with God. That's our part. God communicates with us. How, primarily? What's God's primary way of communicating with us right now? The Bible. Bible is his primary means of communicating with us right now is through his word, his revealed word. He does also speak to us through sometimes audible voices. That's unusual and rare for most people, but he can and is willing and able to do that when the time is right. He speaks to us through circumstances. He speaks to us through other believers. There's different ways, but we talk to him. We call that prayer. So let's jump in here. We're going to look at 1 Kings 8 to start with, and I'm just grabbing some verses out of these passages. Often these are lengthy passages, and we just don't have the time today to go into a ton of detail. But they built this beautiful temple. It's one of the wonders of the world, Solomon's temple at the time. David had wanted to do it. God said, no, Solomon's going to do it. So Solomon does it, and he dedicates it. And if you read the passage, they sacrifice thousands of animals. It's a big spectacular. If whatever the world news system was back then, it would have made world news. It was a big deal. And David's kingdom, David's empire, if you will, has spread. So by the time of the reign of Solomon, they are really the world leader. Egypt has diminished in power. The great empires of Mesopotamia that will come along in the future, the Babylonian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, but the empire of Israel, if you want to call that, it's at its zenith right now. Now, this is Solomon's prayer, and at this point in his life, he is on track with the Lord. He's walking with the Lord. We know in his later life, he gets way off track, and that's a worthy study, too. What happened to Solomon? But I love this passage. I love this prayer, and I believe when we get to the prayer of Daniel coming up, Daniel knew this prayer and responded to this prayer. It impacted his life all those hundreds of years later. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against you, if they pray toward this place and acknowledge your name and turn from their sin when you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people, Israel, when you teach them the good way in which they should walk and grant rain upon your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. Now, there's a couple components there. I only put two, if you're doing those study notes, to write down in the study notes, but they have to pray. There is the actual exercise of actually praying, doing it, not thinking about it and doing it. Are you one of these people that thinks about exercising, or are you one of these people who actually exercise? It's fun to think about it, isn't it? You know, I'll tell Lois, I'm going to start exercising next week, and I say that about every week. So when do I exercise? Next week is the correct answer, yes. And but to pray, it's the same thing. I don't know if I have time to talk to God today, or I probably to do it right, I should set a time. You just start doing it. And when you pray, but then it says the next part, which is not on the line, but it's acknowledge your name. We pray, back then they didn't know of the name of Jesus, but we do today, and we're told to pray in his name. We're praying in the name of Jesus, not because it's magic or a formula, because that's how we're instructed to do it, and God hears us in his name. And then the third part is what? Turn from their sin. We have to look at our own behavior and say, are we measuring up to God's commands in Scripture, or are we just doing what we want when we want to? And then God, by the way, God will get our attention. Christians who start sinning, God will get their attention. Why? Why does God do that? He loves us. He loves us. He wants us. He wants us kids to get back to him and get close to him. So I remember one of my teachers in New England Bible College said, if a Christian sins, a couple things happen. One, it's less fun than it used to be before they were a Christian. God's taken something out of that. Two, God is going to be after you, and you know it. But God's not out to punish. It's not a punitive thing. It's saying, hey, get back on track. I want you as my child. Because when it comes to the punishment of sin, who took care of that? Jesus did. That doesn't mean we don't have earthly repercussions and responsibilities. I'm not denying that. But remember, Jesus took my sin. He took your sin. He paid the penalty for all sin for all time. Here's a great quote by Soren Kierkegaard. He was born and raised in Durham. No, he wasn't. But anyway, prayer does not change God, but what? Changes him who prays. All through the years, my years of pastoring, I've heard people say, I've prayed and God doesn't answer. What is the purpose of praying? And I didn't know this quote back then, but I started learning, God's working in me through prayer, and he's working in others through prayer. And so prayer is going to start working to change me, because God wants me to be more like Jesus. It's not like if I pray a certain way, I can make God do something. That scripture has never taught that. Let's go to Daniel's prayer, though. This is one of my favorite prayers in all scripture. Actually, I'm going to go forwards and then backwards. Because there's a new book out. I'll go back to his prayer in a second. I just ran across a few weeks ago, it's new to me anyway, by Anne Graham Lotz, one of Billy Graham's kids. I've heard her speak. She's a very powerful speaker. The Graham kids are products of their parents. You can tell when you see them or hear them. This is Billy and Ruth Graham's kid, all right. And she wrote this book on the Daniel prayer. I've read part of it. I downloaded the sample. It's a great book. I thought of it as a study book. I still may do it sometime. So I hope to read it this fall. But sometimes I say, you know, maybe you want to read it and then say, hey, this would maybe be a good study book for the spring or whatever. Because she goes into lengthy detail, if you will, in looking at Daniel's prayer and how it should impact us in the world that we live in today. So now I will go back to his actual prayer. Yeah, that's it. Doop, doop, there we go. So Daniel has been in captivity. He's in the city of Babylon. He's been given great authority and power in that city. He's lived under different rulers in the Babylonian system. But even as he had responsibility and power in that system, his heart was always right with God. In fact, we read the story of, you know, the Sunday school story of Daniel in the lion's den. What did they find against Daniel? He prayed. He prayed. He served the living God. And they said, we got to make a law that he can't do that. He did it anyway. But this is a specific prayer that's recorded in Scripture, and it's what I call an intercessory prayer. Because Daniel, and I want you to note as we read just these few verses, the pronouns that he uses in his prayer. You know what I mean by pronouns? Everybody's done English 101 at some time. He doesn't talk about Israel's sin as their sin. Lord, forgive the sinning Israelites. But when Daniel prays, he steps in and takes part of Israel's sin, even though, as we read the story of Daniel, he was a godly man. It wasn't because of Daniel that the nation of Israel was punished by a long shot. But notice how he prays. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer, and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. What's the next three words? We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. So he makes confession, but in his interceding, he enters into and takes on the burden of the sin of the people. I remember years ago, and I can't remember when, but it was many years ago when I was reading in Daniel, and I started reading this prayer, and then it really hit me. What an awesome prayer. And by the way, I'm not going into it today, but there's a dramatic response to this prayer. God sends an angel to him. Those are rare events in the whole space of human history. In response to this prayer, God sends an angel to talk to him. Why? Because Daniel had taken on the burden, not of his sin, but of other people's sins. And I think what a great lesson this is for me and for you. We do need to confess our own sins. The Bible's very clear about that. We confess our sins. But also the Bible tells us, especially Daniel makes it clear, we take on other sins too and confess them before God. We intercede in their behalf. And then if we had more time, we talk about that Jesus is praying in our behalf and the Holy Spirit is praying in our behalf. So it's not like we're doing it alone. We're part of a big a team or a chorus that are praying. Great quote by Martin Luther. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. If you're a follower of Christ, if Christ has moved in your life and changed your heart, you and I will pray. But it's how we pray. So I'm going to go to the Lord's Prayer now. Jesus, I call it part one. But I'm not going to, we can say the Lord's Prayer, and that's fine. But my point is his preface to the Lord's Prayer, his introduction to the Lord's Prayer. Because the disciples came and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Great thing. And we, from time to time, say the Lord's Prayer. I think it's good to pray it at home alone, too. If you've got kids, you teach the kids the Lord's Prayer. That's great. Everybody debates whether it's forgive us our debts or our trespasses. I like to use the word my sins, or if I'm thinking like Daniel is, our sins, because I'm going to pray for more than just myself. But this is his introduction of how to pray. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Well, that's not our culture today. I have not gone into Portland and stood on the street corner and prayed out loud, or Brunswick, and Durham doesn't have street corners. So anyway, you know, it doesn't work in our culture. It did in their culture. But the next part is what's applicable. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When your Father, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do. Repetition, they thought there was power in repetition. For they think that they will be heard with their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father, this is one of the keys that helps me to pray when I pray. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I sometimes pray and say, God, I don't know what's going on here. There are needs, A, B, C, D. And then while I'm actually praying that, it's like that comes back to me. It's like God's answering, I already know this. Thank you for praying about it and taking the burden, picking up the burden. Then pray like this, and then we say the Lord's Prayer. So I don't think it's the prayer closet per se, although that's a great thing, have a specific place or a specific time. Everybody's different. A lot of people pray in the car when you're going back and forth to work. Years ago, I had a 20-mile commute, and that was a very I found my 20-mile commute was actually short because I was praying that time. It wasn't a long drive. So if you got a long commute, you get a lot of prayer time in that, and it's a good thing. And I would pray out loud. I like to pray out loud, so I'm sure at an intersection, nowadays we all have cell phones, but back then we didn't. You know, who are you talking to? I'm talking to my Lord. Jesus' prayer. And then there's this other one. It's his prayer in Gethsemane. And this has, of course, been identified as the hardest prayer ever prayed. I agree with that. And when we finally come to that place in our lives, it makes God know that we're serious about living for him. When we can pray, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus did not want to suffer and die. He wanted to save us, but he was hoping there was a plan B, and there was no plan B. So he did it. He went through it. Let this cup pass, nevertheless, what? Not as I will, but as you will. That's a very important prayer to pray. And of course, that's taken, we have that when we say the Lord's Prayer, right? You say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. I like to add the words, in my life. I want to be specific. God, you need to work in me. Thy will be done in my life. Oh, wow, an active slide. I didn't think it would copy over. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. I want to skip past Pearl's prayer because I want... Where is it? We're going to go backwards in a second, but I want this right now. How many of you have seen this movie, War Room? We've seen it several times. Lois and I bought it. I'm thinking I'm going to check with licensing. I'd like to schedule a night this fall and show it up here. Everybody's got comments and opinions about Christian movies. Christian movies aren't done right. They don't have enough budget. They don't have blah, 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 blah. I've lived through all that, too. I've seen some really horrible Christian movies. Everyone that's seen a horrible Christian movie, raise your hand. Okay, we're done with that. This is, I think, the best done Christian movie in many ways, in certain ways, because it wrestles with the reality of a situation in a family's life and wrestling with prayer. Now, in 2 hours... In a storyline, you can't handle everything. It's not meant to. It's not that perfect a movie. But it is. I really recommend it. And I don't know if it's on Netflix or wherever you know, Redbox, but if you can check that out. It's a good thing to watch together if you have older kids, teenage kids, to talk about. Because it's talking about prayer and knowing how to pray and knowing who the enemy really is. When you're having a problem with a person, that person isn't the enemy. They're spiritually, and you learn how to wrestle with that in prayer. So now I'll go backwards, but I wanted to get to that after Jesus in the garden. Get that one. Okay, we're going to go to Paul's prayer now. Could have picked several. Paul writes out prayers in his epistles. This is I won't say this is his best one, but it's one Lois and I go to fairly frequently from Ephesians 3. Where Paul's praying for this little church of new believers, and he says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." And what I like to do, and I know Lois does, is we slow down and try absorb those words. That sentence I just read is what I call a loaded sentence. You know, you like loaded pizza? Some people like loaded pizza. Well, God never intended an onion to be in a pizza. But other than that, loaded pizzas are good. This is a loaded sentence. There's a lot in here. That he may, according to the riches of his glory, and that's big, grant you not material stuff. We're so often praying over material and what I call... transitional things. Life is, we're always in transition. We spend a lot of energy on where I'm at right now, what's going on. This is the eternal stuff. Be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in what? In love, may know something, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, when did Paul write this? When did he write Ephesians? Where was he? What was going on in his life? He had not just won the lottery. He had not just come back from a good vacation. He was under arrest in Rome with a Roman guard in chains. And this is what he writes. And I think, wow. Wow. How could he do that? Who was this guy? And I think he was so connected with Jesus through Jesus' Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, that this is what just flowed from him. And he loved those people in Ephesus so much. He didn't have a good time in Ephesus, by the way. There's a lot of problems. But he wraps up with what's called a doxology. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly, that Greek set of words, English translators, it's like this is indescribably big, far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Your faith is too small. My faith is too small. To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or even think, according to the power that's working where? Me? You? People down the street? people you're praying for, God is at work. My friend Jerry gave some of his testimony when we were out at the baptism, and he talked about how God was at work in his heart. When he was a kid, he'd gone to church. Some bad things had happened. He hadn't gone to church for years, but he always knew that Jesus was his Lord. And then there came the time God called him back. God called him back. God worked powerfully in his heart and his wife's heart. So God's at work. We've got to remember that. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Yay, Paul. Amen. Powerful prayer. When it gets too hard to stand, what do? Kneel. It's a position of reference. It's a position of humility. It's a position of surrender. You say, well, my physical knees won't let me do that. Just do it in your heart. I don't think God's too worried about it. I joke sometimes, I'll get down and kneel, but somebody better be there to help me get back up. And that's okay, too. The next one is from a little book I think we've used this as a study book years ago. I've gone through it a couple times. I keep going back to it. It's a short little book. Too Busy Not to Pray by Pastor Bill Hybels. Pastors a mega church outside of Chicago. I really respect this guy and what he's done in ministry and how he's helped a lot of other churches. Had a chance to hear him in Boston years ago at an all-day conference, and he was right on it. But anyway, there's a lot of different ways. If you go online, you look up, people give you kind of an order for prayer, but this is the ACTS acronym, ACTS. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. What's he mean? When I start praying, and by the way, I'm glad I learned this years ago because I have to keep coming back to it. Often when I start praying, I'm immediately going to the need, whatever the need is. And that's okay. God hears that. But when I remember the ACTS, the acronym, that slows me down, I'm going to get to the need. But there's some other things that help my heart and my relationship before I get there. And that is, what is adoration? What's another word for adoration? Praise, worship. We're going to get to Thanksgiving more specifically. Praise and worship can include Thanksgiving. But it's just looking at God and his character and attributes. And it's worshiping him. And I might pray something like, thank you, God, for loving me. I am still puzzled why you love me. I am just puzzled sometimes. Why do you love me so much? I'm glad you do. I'm glad my brain finally has got some of that in it. I know God loves me. And he loves me whether it's been a good day or a bad day. And he loves you whether it's been a good day or a bad day. His love is unstoppable, unchangeable. Then we go to confession. And then I like to think about, first, I got to do my own personal inventory. What's going on? What can I talk about God in my life I need to confess? But then I'm back to Daniel. What's going on in the world? And I will confess sins of our nation and sins of the world. And our world, and by the way, our nation is a mess, in case you missed the news. Our nation's a mess. And it's not getting better from anything I see or hear. And sometimes in the car, I listen to different radio stations. Between you, I can listen to National Public Radio for a while. Then I can go to a conservative talk radio station, and I'm going, it's amazing the gulf between here. There's a huge gulf. And only God himself can bring it together because people mean well. Everybody's trying to find solutions to some of these huge pandemic problems the nation is dealing with. We got to confess before God the sins of ourselves and the sins of our nation. Then we go to Thanksgiving. And then it's good to be specific of what's going on. Thanksgiving is, I think, one of the healthiest things a Christian can do every day is give thanks to God. It's healthy. It's literally physically healthy for us. Then we go to the request, supplication, and God hears that. And then, if you're like me, we got to write things down. Write things down. Whether you do a prayer journal or however you want to do it, you write things down. You watch the movie War Room. She sets up a closet and puts stuff on the wall, writes it down, writes down the request, writes down the answers to prayer, what it is, so she can look at them. So some kind of record-keeping system so you can see God is hearing and answering, and he's powerful. And that's a faith thing for somebody else. So I found this little graphic. I like this little graphic. Romans 12:12, it's interpreted different ways, slightly different ways in the newer translations. But Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in affliction or tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. That would be quite literal to the Greek. But what it means is to persevere, be constantly diligent, attend continually. So New King James, continuing steadfastly in prayer, or the ESV is the one I like, constant in prayer. Now, what does that mean? That I am praying literally 24/7 every minute? No. But my attitude towards God is hopefully one of submission and supplication. So as I am going through the day and needs arise, it's not like I've got to get in shape somehow. I'm there. It's your daily walk with the Lord. And mine aren't always perfect, just like yours. We sometimes are all over the map. But there's that process of, so I am in tune with God and I'm praying with Him. And maybe that starts out with a tune-up session in the morning. I have a friend in the room that last I knew, he prays on the armor of God every morning. And I've been doing that more. You pray on the armor of God piece by piece. That's found in Ephesians 6. So there's different things you can do to keep your heart in touch with God, in tune with God. Tuning. It's the type of thing where, you know, I play guitar. I try to play guitar. If I use my guitar frequently, it doesn't go out of tune much at all. Humidity may change it a little bit. But I have another guitar at the house that sits in the case for lengthy periods of time. I get that one out. Uh-oh, it's ways off. It's why? Because it's not in use. It's not being kept in tune. And I think that's in prayer. We keep that attitude going with God. Keeps us in step. So this is my last slide. When life is rough, what should we do? When life is good, what should we do? We should pray. The musicians would join me, please. And we're going to close with a song that I really personally like. Never once did we ever walk alone. So when I'm praying, I'm knowing at all times God is with me. And He is going to be with you. I don't know what's going on in your heart and life right now. Problems that we have, problems of all shapes and sizes, but God is faithful, amen. He will not leave us or forsake us. He is with you for strength and just what you need. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, who knows He's faithful? We know You're faithful. Yes, Jesus, glory to Thee. Thank You, Jesus. When I have been confused and sinned and all the stuff that every one of us could come up here and fill in the blanks, You never let go of us. You have always been faithful. You're faithful. It's not how great the sin is. It's how great the salvation is. You are a great Savior, Jesus. You are a great Savior. Forgive us for our little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Jesus, we read again and again how in your frustration, the disciples just, they're with You, they see it, and they don't get it. Forgive us. How often we've been with You, we've seen You do stuff, and we still don't get it. This morning, we're saying, we get a little bit of it. We love You, Lord. Bless us in our personal prayer lives, that we learn how to both worship You and praise You, and then confess and intercede for others on their behalf, that we may see Your grace in their lives, that You would be glorified. And there's so many, we all could have a testimony how You've done that in our lives. So Lord, give us faith and courage to keep at it in prayer, faithful, constant in prayer, patient, you know, patient in it, joyful in hope, patient in affliction, hanging in there, waiting, but You're going to hear an answer. Amen? You are faithful. What a God we serve. Okay, we're going to take just 5 minutes and set up for a monthly communion service. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, please stay in fellowship with us. But take a stretch.